Monday the 12th of April, Koch Bess Nissen, Dan Hanno Friedman, more Shilas with Dine Mominus.
An interesting question. But I was asked recently the question of America. A person borrowed from two different loan funds. He borrowed from one loan fund, let's say 1,000. In England we'll talk about 1,000 sterling. And he borrowed from the second loan fund, also 1,000 sterling. And the person knows that he had no money in his pocket before he borrowed. Zero. Now he comes home and he sees he has 2,050. So he calls up each gemach, each loan fund, and they say, it's not from us. We checked our records, check everything. We gave you just exactly 1,000. The next 50, we just not ours. Now his question was, is he allowed to use the money, the extra 50? Because he knows he had nothing in his pocket, so it came from somewhere. Must have come either from this one or from that one. They checked the records well, and they claimed that it's not from them, but he knows he can have it, but it is somebody else's. And also, they had the question, as we know, the gabbai, he doesn't have the right to be Michael. The person in the loan fund was working there. He's an officer, an executive, or a secretary. He's supposed to do his job, but he has no right to be Michael to give away the money. So it can't be said that he's Michael. So he wants to know, is he allowed to use the money or not? When I discuss Tosh and Mishpat, I always like to hear if somebody else has any opinions on the subject. If anybody has any opinion why he should be allowed to use the money, I would appreciate to hear your opinion. I don't hear you.
Nobody's claiming it.
No, so what? If I know it's somebody else's money and he doesn't know about it, say, if money was lost and I know it wasn't mine, am I allowed to take it unless there's huge, there's clothing? So what? It doesn't make it mine? So what?
He's asked them.
So then it's not theirs. I asked somebody who's not his. He said it's not his. Okay, it's not his, but it belongs to somebody. If they were, it was their money, and they definitely could say that I'm Michael, I'm giving you, but it's not their money to give away. Well, I'll tell you why I think it's mutter for him to use the money. On what basis? There's a Gemara in Bar Metzia that some Samach Gimel Amud Beis. What? If I give back, what do you do? What would you do with the 50? You put it away and put it until the two of them decide, in case they ever decide who it belongs to. That is, they'll find something half a year from now, the records, or check again, or whatever it is.
From that point of
view. So there's an Aveda, true.
So
he's
a famous
Mitzvah. So then he wouldn't be able to use it. If it'd be Aveda, he wouldn't be able to use it. The Jews, an Aveda of a Jew, without Yush, there's no Yush. It's Yush Shalom Das. The owner of the person who was Mafkin in the Gemach, does not know. So then why should we all be allowed to use it? So let me explain to you the Fidaiti, why the person is allowed to take the money for himself. Here's the Gemara of Metzia, that Samar Gimel and Bey, Samar Daud and Manalev. Vavar of Nachman, somebody who borrowed something, lent person money, and then the person returned it, and he found extra money. If it's something which it's usual to make a mistake, he has to return it. But if it was unusual, it was a mistake. In their times, for instance, they used to count money only by fines. So if you find an extra five, maybe it doesn't make a mistake. If you find an extra one, they never counted it once. So it was unusual to be a mistake. So in such a circumstance, the Gemara says you're allowed to keep it. Why? Because we assume that maybe the person who gave you the extra, he wanted to give you a present, and he didn't want you, did you be embarrassed, he didn't tell you about it. He's just giving you a present. He put it there intentionally in a way that you shouldn't know about it. And what happens if the person who gave you the money is a mishtakif, a shvar mensch, a difficult person, doesn't give any presents? So what's the case there. So Gemara says, maybe he stole from you, do a mitzvah gozel. Maybe he stole from you. And he put into the husband that you should know about, he wants to pay back. And the Gemara asked, and what happens if the fellow you dealt with that person that you never had any dealings with? So, okay, it can't be that he stole from you. So why should this extra money be put there unintentionally the way you shouldn't know it? The Gemara says, maybe somebody else stole from you. And he wanted to pay you back, and he was looking for a way. So he gave it to this fellow who dealt with you, and he told him to put the extra money in there intentionally and not tell you about it. Well, Kapanin, the Gemara says that if you find extra money in a way that a person usually doesn't make a mistake, and here after the two loan funds checked themselves out well, and the Gemara also said, getting your dollar, that people that count money on business, it's unusual they make a mistake. It's a chazaka that they're careful about it. So, in such a circumstance, it's unusual, applies this claw of the Gemara, that if you find extra money in a way it's unusual, they make a mistake, you're allowed to be toila that somebody put it there intentionally, that you should know that he put it there intentionally, so you're allowed to keep the money. So, on the basis of this Gemara, I decided that he could use the extra 50 and keep it for himself.
If you ask them and they say that's not the case,
even here, if you ask them also, it doesn't make a difference. That was just the idea. The person wanted to give it to you intentionally. That's right. It may not even be them. May not be the person the Gemacho did it. Maybe somebody else was there. But Shaz the Gemacho, he put it in there. No, not the person who's running it. Okay, that's one bit. Another interesting then, I ask you, there's a pasuk in the Torah that says, brought down in the Rashi, in the Chumash, the Gemara, the Rambam brings it down, Shulchan Aruch. We learn from a pasuk in the Torah, v'dal lo seheder b'rivoy. A dayan, a judge, has to be fair to both parties, very straight. Hey, there's a law, you shouldn't honor the rich man. See how we're going to, how I'm not going to be paid in his covet. And I'll say he's right, and later on tell him to pay Gandhi. And there's a law in the Torah, the Dalu Seder Beribai, that a poor man, what was I having mean? I should favor the poor man. I shouldn't say, since it's a poor man, and there's a mitzvah given stoke, so instead of embarrassing him, but I have to give him tzedakah, I'll say that he was right and give him the money. So we have to understand, there's a special law from the Torah telling you you're not allowed to do this. The dollar said everybody. Now we have to understand, what do you need a pussy for? How are you allowed to take away the money from the rich man? If a fellow wants to take money from the rich, you give it to the poor, that's Robin Hood. That's not, that's forbidden I'll be din Torah. On what purpose? Even there's a mitzvah tzedakah, but that's when a person willfully gives his money for tzedakah. If you take away the money from his pocket, I figure, well, he's got millions, so I go take away the money from his pocket and get it. So you're a gosling, or the poor man is a gosling. He doesn't pay that, even if you didn't take it literally. You're able to lift neighbor. So why need a pasuk to tell me that there should be a different portion? It's forbidden. Do you have any ideas? So I'll tell you what I think.
It could be that even in the case where the rich man is masculine to do it El Tzedakah, but you're not allowed to pervert justice. That's not the way to give to
this is what I want to tell you, Chidush. If, very good, if before the two of them came to the Din Torah and you spoke to the usher that I'm going to do this, then that's a game. For sure, then you're allowed to do it. If you told them before they sat, they wanted the insight, they weren't coming for a mishpat v'chal. If you told the poor rich man before you're coming, we're just going through the motions, I'm going to say he's right. So he didn't come, they didn't come about the Din Torah. It was a game, that's all. But if the two of them came in Beis Din, they came and lost for a Din Torah. Whatever it was, you said, came, it was said it must be a Din Torah. During the course of events, the Dayan sees that the rich man's right, so he comes, even if he tells the rich man on the side, I'm going to say that he's right, then that, this is where the Torah's telling you it's forbidden. Why? Because since they came, Amalas Medin Torah, now, to state that the other person is wrong, even with the other person's Ashkana, that's a lav in the Torah. The lav in the Torah is, that you have to pask him the way the din is, whatever the halacha is. That's the issue of Abdallah Sederberry Vice. I agree with you, but I say, pask in a situation where they've come originally, I'm a Nazmer din Torah. And that's the chiddush of the pasuk. Very good. I think so also. Now, another case I'll ask you. There's a halacha in Chosh and Mishpat, that if a Dayan makes a mistake and we cannot get the money back for Torah B'Shikol Hadas, then the Dayan was supposed to pay. It was a Gami. But if he was a Mumcha, if he was an expert, he's Potter. Today, practically all the Bati Dinim, a person signs that the accepted decision of the Bezin is final, whether it's the Din, Ben Lepshara, even if it's a Tayus. And the reason for that is, even the biggest Goynim, the Mesivus HaMishpat, they have the Yedid Nefesh of Rebbe Kiveger, the biggest Goynim, the Chavetz Das, he writes, don't accept any Din Torah unless the people accept even if it's a Tayus. Because Dinim Woman is, as a mukim in the yam, rochavim in the yam, it's so endless that you'll never finish. One person has a svar of aktsayis, another person has a svar of nesiva, a third of bekiveger, and you could be mafalpo or mafalpo. Therefore, it has to be a final decision that they ever do the best they do under their understanding, and that has to be final. That's how the system in all bati dinim today. But we're going according to the din of the Gemara. The din of the Gemara, that if a Dayan made a mistake, he couldn't get the money back, he would have to pay, but if he's a mumcha, he's potter, he's an expert. But the halacha is, a person has to prove that he's a mumcha. If he comes, he says, I was a mumcha. He has to bring the burden of proof, it's upon him to show us that he was a mumcha. Now the question is, some of the Achrayim may ask, we know always the first principle, and Dinim Mamas says, who has to bring Raya? If I'm claiming money from you, or you're claiming money from me, who has to bring Raya? The fellow has the money, or the fellow is trying to get the money? Who has to bring the proof? The Moetzi, the fellow is trying to get the money. Now, the Dayan has his own money, and you're coming and you're saying, he's obligated because he damaged you. He was a guy. He damaged you, and you say that he was at fault. Now, why should the Dayan have to prove that he was a mumcha? Why don't we say the opposite? A mensa chayav araya. He says he was a mumcha. We don't know. We have a doubt. So let him be potter, unless you prove the opposite. What do you say about the question? Since the first principle on Dini Momenus is Hamitzi B'chavei Al Oraya, and you're the one that's being moitzi from him.
I can't prove you're a mumcha.
What?
I can't prove you're a mumcha.
No, it's a baby. That's a good title. But so what? Because you can't prove I should lose. You can't prove. So what? I mean, what would be I'm asking you, what would be if we have a question if we borrowed money or lent money, and you say you can't prove it? I'll say, you can't prove it, but because you can't prove it, I don't have to pay. I don't know, you're supposed to prove it. If you want the money, then prove it. Manda Krav Lekeva, also the Bayonson, the one whose teeth hurt, he goes to the dentist. You want the money. Yeah, then other, but you're right. I agree with you. If that was a Takana, I'd understand it. Anything. Okay, maybe there's a mock-up to think about. But I'll tell you what I think.
It's much harder to prove that somebody is.
That's true. That's the easiest. So what? So one of the time.
In
a Takana, we understand. Like Cheskes Gimushonim, we have a swar, like you say. A Cheskes Gimushonim, who has to prove that he was Moicha or not Moicha? The one who's sitting there, that way, he said, because it can't be that you could prove it. That's a Takana. That was a Takana. But in that, in the Takana, we have no Takana. I think. For instance, in chess, there were world experts. Many years ago, there was a fellow Reshevsky. Later, the fellow Bobby Fischer, I don't know if he is or isn't. I don't necessarily follow. But let's say it's very, very unusual that a world master should make a mistake. All right, but it can happen. The same thing in Torah happened. If you're the greatest guy, if you're Moshe Rabbeinu, Torah says, I give a low wash. It's possible. But one thing you can be sure about, if a fella comes and the first move he makes a mistake, you can be sure that he's not a world expert. That you have no question about it. He comes, he says, the first move he makes, he makes a mistake, he sure is not Bobby Fischer. He's not a world expert. So if so, the same thing is, here this guy, he comes and he starts, the first thing you see about him, you see he makes a mistake, so then you can see he's not a world expert. Therefore, the burden of proof that he's an expert is upon him, because you see him in that way, the fellow, he starts talking. The fellow says, I'm a world speaker. The first sentence he makes, he starts stuttering. You know he's not a world speaker. The burden of proof is that today was unusual, and that's not his habit. That's why the burden of proof is upon him. Another thing that people not necessarily think about, but it's important to know, a situation that somebody is traveling, let's say, from Israel to England, and somebody in Israel asked him to bring back something, buy from me a camera or something, and he gave him £100 to buy in England, £100, he gave him a bill to buy it. Now, the person puts it with his money, the money the person gives him, and it got stolen. He wasn't negligent. He put it where he keeps his money, you know, but Ganon came and stole his money. Now, we all know, this fellow didn't take any profit from them. He took nothing from the other person. He was just doing him a favor. So we all know that then. What is Hashem Rechim Chayev, or what is Hashem Resacher Chayev? Who's Chayev for Gnei Aveda, and who's Chayev only for Shia? Hashem Rechim is Chayev?
Shia.
And Hashem Resacher is Chayev? Gnei Aveda. A man who took absolutely nothing, what is he? Hashem Rechim or Hashem Resacher? Took absolutely nothing from the other party. Anybody asks you a favor to do some not a pile, he's a shamer and he's money plus doing you a favor, he's doing two things. So what? Shliach is also a shamer, he's doing two things. He's a shliach and buying, and he's a shamer, he's a nifkad and the money. It's two things. He's doing him a favor as a shliach. So what? For that you have no responsibility. And you're a shamer on his money. And what type of shamer on your money? Pass a shamer chiner. You should be part of it. But we have to know that this is not simple at all. There's not a shayel. He didn't borrow the money. It wasn't for shayel. He put it with his own money. More you can't expect a shamer chinam. A shamer chinam. It's not reinshi. You watch the money the same way. I mean, for sure, if you're in a hotel, you leave the door wide open, then you lock the door with the key, the way it's normally locked. And somehow they stole it. Yishem Rechinim's obligation is not reinshi. The way a person normally watches like Shem Resachar has to do better than that. He has to, L'chiyav l'chagra, I paid you, L'chiyav l'chiyav l'chagra, Adaita l'shmer n'tirusi yaseira. Shem Resachar has to do something more beyond. But Shem Rechinim is going to not be itchy. But this deal is not simple. Let me explain to you why. There's a Gemara about Mitzir and Mem Gimel. They were speaking in their times. It was usual that the person, the nifkad, the person who received the money, would use it only if it was open or if he was a money changer. But in our times, let me ask you, if somebody gives you, you're going back to England, gives you a note, the £20 or £50 or even £250, does he expect you to fold up that money and to hold it, just to use that money, or you have the right to use it? It's not bring about such sums, like £100,000, that it's that those it may be difficult for a person to pay back. It's normal money, normal currency that it normally expects. You don't have to use just those bills. You can use whatever bills you have. If you'll be at a gas station or in a taxi or something or in a grocery, you just don't have to have that bill at that moment. You have the right to use them. And you'll give your own because that's the normal way of doing it. So the Gemara tells us when a person has the right to use the other person's money even before he borrowed it. He didn't use it yet. But that itself, the hanoah, that you have the ability of using this extra money if you're in a situation where you just didn't have that cash, that's worth a purpah. That makes you a shemer sacher. So, if so, the ability itself, the fact that you're able to use the other person's money, is worth a purpah, worth a penny. A purpah is a penny, 1 pence. So, if so, you become a shemer sacher. So if you're a shemer sacher, then you're chayv b'nei raveda. So it turns out a very interesting thing. You're doing the fellow a favor. He's in Israel. He can't get the camera. You're going to England. You're going to the Star Friend. And you didn't use his £100 at all. But because you had the possibility of the advantage of being able to use his money, and that's where the pruta, you become a shemer sacher, you chayav b'nei raveda. The chayav, this din is a din borer. The only thing to do, a person wants to avoid such a situation. Well, you specify before, master shemer sacher, master shemer chayav. You have the right to specify that you're parted from responsibility. But if you don't specify, so that there's a very big tzari halacha, I think it's another borer, that you arrest a person, that you can never use his money, you've got so much cash, so many different bills, that you never have this advantage, it's not even worth you a pence. But by normal people, under most circumstances, it's worth at least a pence, 1 penny. So if so, you become a shemer sacher. So the only way to be free from responsibility of Nehru Aveda is if you speak out specifically that I don't have a chayes. So that's a chiddush din that a person should know in order to be careful to avoid himself problems later.
Well, Shane, if he gave him his credit card and said,
pay
with my credit card.
Oh, then he paid with something else.
If he lost the credit card, then... No,
you could clear as the person that got me because the hezek is not in losing the card itself. It's only if somebody else steals it and uses it. That's a question where that's like on me. And it could be a shamer is only a shamer in some way is goofy and mammon. Shamer is also needs to be only goofy and mammon. Money is goofy and mammon. A credit card per se is not necessarily not goofy and mammon. It's just a possibility of getting money. So it's not so simple on that. Maybe get Shemayim, Roma, but did he order money losing a credit card? But check? That's a very question also. A check we look at if that's looked upon as goofy moment or not goofy moment. A check from St. Pina back, goofy moment. Not certain it would work. That's a question. If somebody puts a check in the bank before the time, and the person's check's bounced, then he's a garbage. That could be he has to pay the person back the extra money if he was told to put it in, let's say, the 1st of May, and he put it in the middle of April, and because that person's bounced, then could be they have to pay. As a shomer check, that's questionable. That's something, a big deal in the poskim, or has a dinner goofy moment, or not. Now, let me ask you, another case. A fellow improved the other person's property. Now it's worth money. It's worth his improvement. It could be estimated it's worth £1,000, the improvement he made. Even if he had his own land, but he built fences around. It's a place that he prevented things that where was needed. It's really tough. So he asked the fellow, pay me £1,000. That's what it's worth. The other fellow says no, not willing to pay anything. A year later, he comes back and he asks, give me $500. All right? Now, the fellow agrees, pays him $500. Now, a year later, again, he comes back, says, give me the other 500. He says, what do you mean? The whole reason I agreed to give 500, because I talked with him with the end of the story, that you agree. So is this considered a mechila or not? Because in a case where you can actually prove, they'll bring the estimates and show, court, everybody will agree that it was worth 1,000. And they spoke up nothing either time. Originally asked them 1,000 because that was the word. But the second time when they spoke, they neither spoke mefurish that it's a compromise, or they didn't speak mefurish that just encouragement. So is this a mechila or not? This question is, there's a Rebbe Akiva Eiger who brings down a Chubas Miltstaka in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Yud Ches. He learns this from a Gemara in Bar Basra. And Dav Dalin, in this case. Dalin Beis, Dav Hay. Amid Aleph. There was a case that Ravina, he made fences around the field of Runya. And it made the field better. It was a Sialita, a place where it was needed. So he asked me, pay me for the fences. Runya says no. Later on, Sir Ravina came to a different time. Pay me at least for the sticks? No. Pay me like you can be, you need a watchman? No. When came the time of harvest, Runya was trying to get the payers. So Ravina said to his worker, appear like you're going to take something from him and see what happens. So Runya started screaming, what's he taking? So Rava says to me, see, you need a watchman, you don't want people to take it. Yes, at least that pay me. So now, Runya wanted to know, does he owe anything or not? So he went to Rava and asked the question. Rava told him, the amount that Ravina was willing to take, he was nispious, pay him up immediately, because if not, if he's going to have to take you to a din Torah, then I'm going to make you pay for the entire fence. So what kind of psak was that? I tell him, pay this amount, because I'll come to a din Torah and make you pay more. You have to pay more, you have to pay less. So the Rebbe Kimega brings from the Milut Staka this din. He says that if originally you asked for more, and later on you asked for less, that means that this is a mechila on condition that you'll pay before he goes to the din Torah. Why is the person willing to accept a compromise? Because he doesn't want to go to litigation. If he's going to have to go to litigation to get there, then he's not going to litigate. See, therefore, Rava told Runya, if you pay before he changes his mind and he asks prayer, then that's a mechila on the rest if you pay on your own. But if they're going to have to go to a din Torah with Rava, then you're going to have to pay the full amount. So this din, he learned from the Gemara, that if a person once asked the full amount, or later on, he asked for half, and you paid, and they said nothing, and that was considered a mechila, that was a compromise. This halacha Rebbe Akiva Eiger brings down from the Mitzvah in Chayshim Mishpat, in Siman Yud Zayin, Dach Sechmeh.